Good morning. Good to be here. It's been a blessing to be here. Bring you greetings from Pennsylvania, from Harmony Christian Fellowship. I believe it's the first I've been here on a Sunday morning, for sure. We were here Friday evening. Been here a number of times for whenever the Agape meetings have been, but first, I've been here. Gives a little different perspective when I see a group of people. It's one thing to meet with leadership. It's another thing to meet and see a congregation. It was one thing to see couples on Friday evening. It's another thing to see the children here this morning. I was thinking about the size of the group that was up here singing. You have quite a large group. You have a lot of potential here. In a couple years, not long, that'll be the youth group. And that was, I don't know how big the youth group is presently, but looking forward a few years, that's quite a group. So, before we go further, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We thank you for this day. Thank you for being with us and blessing this service thus far. We do look to you for your anointing on your word, on your mouthpiece that is here to share your word. I just pray that your name would continue to be lifted up here this morning. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciated what we've heard thus far. I was noticing the verse here that's on the podium. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who was that? Who was the Word? Jesus Christ. And I've noticed my take on you all are a people that lift up Jesus Christ. That's what happened a lot this morning. In the beginning was the Word. I'd like to continue with that. That was verse 1. Verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. There was some substance put to the Word. Word is something that's spoken. But here we have not just something spoken, but we have something to get a hold of. Jesus. He was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory. We were beholding his glory this morning. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We think about Jesus and who he was and all he represented. And I think of the statement, like Father, like Son. Like Father, like Son. Let's flip over to Hebrews. Hebrews 1. Read the first several verses. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. We were talking about his glory. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of his person. Express image. This is more than father, like son. This is almost, I don't want to use the term mirrored, but so nearly identical, you can hardly tell them apart. Jesus told the disciples, you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So, express image. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So, the phrase there that we wanted was the express image of his person. As we look at Christ, he was an express image of God the Father. Now, let's turn back to get a little snapshot of who the Father was in Exodus. Let's turn back to Exodus. Chapter 3, Exodus 3. We have this scene here, Moses in the wilderness. I believe we'll just go ahead and read. Beginning in verse 1, chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. So we know what was happening here. The bush was on fire, which something that did happen in the desert. Bush ignited. But the thing that was unique here was that it was not being consumed. It was still there. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, one thing I'd like to say here before we read on, God was introducing himself to Moses, and he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid himself, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, what I would like to do, and where we're going with this, God said that I am that I am was his name. On that thought, let's turn over to chapter 6 of Exodus. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And Moses spake on God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Now, I am the Lord. The different names of God. God is a general term. Lord with capital letters. That is Jehovah. Jehovah God. Whenever you see capital letters, it's Jehovah. I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. This is another name. Almighty. God Almighty was El Shaddai. He was the mighty God. He was God. God was the supreme being. He came to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as the Almighty God, but by his name Jehovah was I not known unto them. He is coming with a new name. And I believe it's progression, another step of revealing himself. Another step. If you follow through with the names of God, there's many names. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom. There's a number of them. We're not going that direction this morning, but we are looking at Jehovah and the I Am. Okay, let's read on. We ended there in verse 6, looking at the God that spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now it's the God speaking to Moses. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land into a good and large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is to come unto me, is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? So it was important what the name was. God said that he was the God Almighty when he showed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. What is your name? What should I tell them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And God said, Moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. We will stop reading there. The name I Am. What do we think of? That seems like an incomplete phrase, doesn't it? I am. I am what? Something's missing. Well, in our minds, maybe. What is I am? Let's think about I am. I am can mean, yes, I exist, but how long did God exist? I am. I am. Did he say, I began here and I'm ending there? No, I am. I am. I always was and I always will be. I am. He was a self-existent one. He didn't need anybody else. I am. He didn't say at this point, I was created. We say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. But he was, I am, because he was God. He didn't need anything else or anybody. I am can also mean that he was not changing. I am. I am always going to be the I am. I'm always going to be what I was. Faithful and true to his promises. His word does not change. His nature does not change. I am. So, I exist to become. He is something that he is not evolving or changing, but I am something consistent. Now, let's look at what this chapter says about Jehovah in verse 7. The I am. What is the I am like? What was he like to the children of Israel there in Egypt? Verse 7. I have surely seen the affliction of my people. God sees. God sees. He sees us as well. But God sees. I've seen the affliction of my people. And what's the next thing? I have heard. God is a God that hears. Hears our cries. Hears our petitions. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. He has that knowledge of what we're going through. He had a knowledge of what was happening there to the children of Israel. And it's beautiful, the next one. And I am come down. I'm come down. I'm not sitting up in heaven watching, but I have come. I've come into your presence. I'm come down to deliver them. We all experience that. God has come down and delivered us out of the hand of the Egyptians. Egyptians are a type of the world. God has come down to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Egyptian and to bring them up out of that land onto a good land and large, onto a land flowing with milk and honey. God has taken us out of the wilderness and given us purpose in our lives. This is the I am. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to deliver them. That's what he told Moses. So the I am. The I am was not just some great God up there in heaven, but he related to his people. Seeing, hearing, knowing, and come down, and then bringing deliverance to them. Who else said, I am? We're looking at Jesus as the Father, so the Son. Let's look at Jesus. Let's flip to the New Testament. John chapter 8. John 8:58. Jesus was having a dialogue with the Jews. I'm not sure who all he was speaking to here. Let's start in verse 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. If it is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God, yet ye have not known him, but I have known him, and if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus said, I am. Do you think the Jews made connection to that phrase? I think they were familiar with that. And they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus said, I am. He was saying, as God said, I am, I'm saying, I am. Let's flip over to chapter 18 in John. Jesus said, I am. This was on the Mount of... No, I was going to say Mount of Transfiguration. No, it's when Judas came. Verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. But you notice the he is in italics. That was added to make it, to fill it in. Jesus said, I am he. And notice what happens. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. When the I am spoke, the soldiers fell back when he said, I am. Jesus said, I am. And there was something miraculous took place right then. Let's turn to chapter 4 of John. We're going to be in the book of John and looking at quite a few scriptures. I trust you enjoy doing Bible study and looking at scriptures. That's what we're going to be doing. Chapter 4 and verse 26. Let's start. This was referenced here already this morning, that worshiping in spirit and in truth, verse 24. Then the woman in verse 25 saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Do you see the I am in there? I am he. So Jesus told the woman at the well, I am. So Jesus was the I am. The I am became flesh. We started off by reading that this morning. The I am became flesh. That would be my title this morning. The I am, the great I am, became flesh. There was numerous times that Jesus said, I am. And we're going to be looking at those this morning, the I ams of Christ. He put some meat, some substance to that I am. God said, I am. And we noticed a little bit of what God was like. But here we have Jesus. Let's begin in chapter 6. Most of these, in fact, all of them, are out of John. John 6:35. Let's notice what all Jesus said, I am. 6, verse 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So he was challenging them. I am the bread of life. Let's back up and read a few verses. They fit right here, right with it. They're talking about the manna in the wilderness. And then Jesus in verse 32 says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth his life unto the world. So God's Son, Jesus, came to this earth and gave his life. And it became spiritual life to us. And they said, give us this bread. And he said, I am the bread. Verse 48. He says it again. I am that bread of life. The verse before, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man, when he eat thereof, and not may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Jesus said, I am bread. I am something that you can partake of and get life from. The next one is chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Think about light and what it does for us. We could turn the lights off in here. And what would it be like? Not a lot of close the windows, but close out the light. It's dark. What's it like to move around in the dark in a place that you don't know? There would be stumbling, would be falling around, bumping into things. Jesus is light. He brightens things up. We can see where we're going and shows us the pathway, gives us direction. Chapter 9 and verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So Jesus was that light. Chapter 12 and verse 46. Beginning verse 44. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Jesus was the I am. The I am was made flesh. And I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. He came to bring light. Let's go back to chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. So I am the door. We know what a door is. It's a doorway. It's a way to get into the fold. As sheep, sheep entered in through the door. I am the door. Jesus said, I am the way into the fold. Another thing, another picture is, I'm told that when sheep were being herded, tended at night, they would put them into the fold. And the shepherd laid across the opening at night and was that the thing that was closed. Jesus is the door, keeps things from entering, keeps the animals that would want to kill the sheep, keep them out. So Jesus was the door in that way as well. He protects us from evil. On to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. And in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and are known of mine. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep, gives his life for the sheep. And verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. There's a relationship there. He knows his sheep. And I don't know if it says it in here, but he knows them by name. He knows his sheep by name. I believe that. And am known of mine. And we are familiar with him as well, being our shepherd. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my sheep, my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. That's the part, that's where we come into the picture. He was speaking to the Jews, but there's other sheep that he had, which are not of this fold. Them I also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, or one flock, and one shepherd. Chapter 11 is the account of Lazarus and his death and his rising again. Verse 21, it says, well, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whether whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha says, I know that he will. He'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus says unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Eternal life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He is that to us, isn't he? Resurrection and the life. Chapter 14. We'll begin in the beginning, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye would have known the Father. There we have that phrase. If ye have known me, ye have known the Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. You've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. The way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I am the way. Follow me, and I will lead you to those mansions. The way, the truth, and the life. Next chapter in 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. True vine speaks of our source of life. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, he purges, he takes care of it. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Jesus is that true vine. Now, I'd like to go a step further. We've looked at God, said, I am. Jesus said, I am. Now, let's go one more step in this message and say, we are little Christs. Am I able to say, I am through Christ? Let's think about it a little bit. These things that we looked at. Jesus said, I am the bread. When people come in contact with us, is there something there that's substance, that's sustenance? We are little Christs. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. What did God say about us? Ye are the light of the world. A light, do we hide the light or do we let it shine? A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. As a church, are we a lighthouse? As individuals, are we lights? Jesus said, I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the door. Thinking about protection or entrance, the way in. Are we pointing Jesus, others to Jesus? The doorway. See us. They see us. Are they drawn to that fold? Jesus said, I am the shepherd. Am I the one that is taking care of those sheep? There's one that's lost. What am I doing about it? It's out there somewhere. Am I leaving the 99, going out for that lost one? Similar one. I'm the resurrection and the life. When we find somebody that's down, can we help them up? Are we there to help them? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come alongside of somebody and say, this is the way. This is the truth. This is the life, the way to life. Can they look on our lives and say, there's somebody that is going the right way? Jesus said, I am the vine. And we could say, and we are the branches. What are we bearing as branches? Are we bearing fruit? Are we bearing fruit? Are we something that other people can get something from? Are we that positive influence? Is it life that's flowing from us or death? And that shouldn't be. But is there life flowing from our lives? As we fall into the ground and die, life springs up. So that is the pathway to give life. Fall into the ground and die, and life springs up. For a closing scripture, let's turn to Romans 13. Let's begin in verse 11. Romans 13, 11. And that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the bread, I am the light, I am the door, I am the shepherd, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us to be that to others. Once again, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to the end of this message, I just pray that you would help us to worship you for who you are, and also look at those points and say, we are little Christs. Help us to be that to others. The I ams of Christ made flesh. May we be made flesh in such a way that others can see Jesus through us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.